Thanks for joining us for Betting Across America here from VSiN. We're broadcasting live from the South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. I'm Adam Candy, just outside that sportsbook in our beautiful VSiN studio. Joining us from Denver, Colorado, James Salinas, as we walk through what's happening in Major League Baseball, what's coming up in the NBA, and get you ready maybe for a little bit of NFL draft talk as well, as we have just about a week and a half left before the madness in April for the National Football League. James, let's update what's going on in Major League Baseball before we get any farther down the line. There have been four runs scored in two games. Three of them have been on solo home runs for the Nationals and the Diamondbacks. It was Yan Gomes for the Nationals, Cole Calhoun for the Diamondbacks. One all game in the bottom of the third inning as the Diamondbacks just miss out on turning a double play. Yankees have left five runners on through two, and they are in a 1-1 tie right now, bottom of the third, against the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, you're looking at the Yankees minus 129, Rays plus 102, Nationals minus 157, Diamondbacks plus 125. Total of eight in Washington, total of seven in New York. James, we have more Major League Baseball to get to that we have not discussed yet. Let's get to the Giants here and the Marlins in what could be an interesting pitching matchup tonight. Kind of a sneaky, interesting pitching matchup between Aaron Sanchez and Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins. Aaron Sanchez, a really talented pitcher, never could quite get his health in Toronto, goes over now to the Giants and has been pretty good in the early part of the season. Sandy Alcantara has been dazzling here early on, an array of stuff. Marlins minus 130 at home, plus 120 on the Giants. Total 7.5, reflecting what we've seen from these two pitchers thus far.
Yeah, and out here, this number is really climbing. Money's coming in on Miami. Now it's up to $1.45 on the Marlins for the game. And then the first five innings, it's $1.40. I was looking at the total for the first five innings. It's sitting at 4. It's juiced to the over. If it happens to get to 4.5, I might look at it from that perspective there. You talked about the pitching matchups, and Alcantara's been terrific. And we know he's the – it's young team there with Miami. Started off really slow hitting the baseball, but you know, have definitely come on lately and playing very well. And it's a young team with a lot of energy. They're really they're intriguing to watch. I'd like to see teams that actually look excited and being enthused to play the game of baseball, and that's what I see out of the Miami Marlins. And you know, it is a very young team, so you're gonna have those stretches where they lose 4, 5, 6 games in a row and then come back and can win 6 out of 7 like they're currently standing here. So if it happens to move that first five here, Adam, since it's juiced at $1.30 to the over at 4, I'm going to keep an eye on this and see if it happens to get to 4.5. If it does, I'll probably be looking to play the under in the first five.
I absolutely understand where you're going. Giants on the year have been under 10 of 13 games. They certainly look like they will do their part for you in this one. The Blue Jays and the Royals, we mentioned, will go twice today. Not going to give you too much on game two yet, just because of the fact that we got to see how the lineups shape up. Anytime you've got these doubleheaders, especially this season where you might see more of them, I want to see how the lineups go. That second game will start at 6:10 p.m. So let's jump to the Orioles and the Rangers. It's a 7:05 Eastern start. Another UNLV product, two of them on the hill today. Dean Kramer goes for the Orioles against Dane Dunning. I didn't know Dane Dunning that well before the season, but he's been very good for the Rangers here in his first couple of starts. Texas minus 135 at home, Orioles plus 125, total 8.5.
Yeah, and Dunning, he came over with that trade with Lance Lynn that from the White Sox in the offseason. So I think here with Dunning, yeah, he's pitched relatively well so far early with his tenure now with the Rangers. I looked at both of these teams. You talked about Dean Kramer with Baltimore. I mean, you know, a young kid has not started off very well, has been blown up pretty good. Another kind of nibbler. He's given up 7 earned runs in his first two starts, only pitched 6 combined innings. and 5 walks to go with it. So still finding his way and kind of nibbling here. But is that a lineup that I can trust to feel like they can take advantage of it potentially? But again, this was another one. I feel like this is definitely, it's going to be a bullpen game for Baltimore, because I don't know how long their starter is going to go. And anytime you can get into that Baltimore bullpen, that's always a good thing when we're talking about totals and playing over. And that would be the only thing that I could look out here was the over. This over sitting at 8.5, but could also look at the team total for the Rangers. I just don't know, Adam, if I really trust the Rangers right now to be able to. It's 4.5 at even money to go over. I don't think I like it that much. Don't think I'll have a play on this game.
Yeah, this will be a pass for me as well. I'm also still trying to figure out exactly how Globe Life Park plays. We know that it is less friendly to hitters than the ballpark in Arlington was, but then again, that was one of those places where once it warmed up in the summer, you could expect the ball to be flying out of the park. So, you know, I'll probably pass on this one and maybe come back toward the Rangers later in the year. Not sure I really want to go there yet. Pirates and the Brewers, 7:10 p.m. Eastern time. Boy, this would have been a great matchup pitching-wise maybe 6 or 7 years ago between Trevor Cahill and Brett Anderson, a couple of guys who have been around for quite a while, been some injury issues, especially for Anderson. Pirates have been a surprising team early on. They were one of the lowest win totals in all of Major League Baseball on the board, as low as 58.5 in some places if you wanted to play their season total. Plus 126 here on the road in Milwaukee, total of 8. And that is reflective less of the pitchers and more about these offenses, James. You and I talked a little bit last week about the fact that the Brewers especially have really struggled to put the bat to ball.
They sure have. And that, what are they hitting? They're just over the Mendoza line. They're hitting .201 collective batting average right now as a team, and missing a few guys out of that lineup. I think with Yelich back again, his back's flaring up on him again. It's been day to day. And obviously with the way that he swings the bat and you got the torque that you've got to pull on the back, it's who knows whether he's going to be in the lineup. So this is definitely a game and a team to watch going forward, especially when we don't have the top of the line starters that are on that rotation for the Brewers. Love the pitching, love the bullpen. This feels like it's probably going to get into a bullpen day. I don't know how long Brett Anderson is going to go, but against a Pirates team, you know, these young teams are going to come out and they're going to come play hard. You know, they want to show that they belong in the show, but eventually they'll start to regress. We know that over time with baseball, it's such a grind of a season. But the other piece here too, with the lineups, not only with the Brewers struggling to hit the ball, but now Lorenzo Cain he is on the IL. He's on the injured list. I got to get used to saying IL instead of DL, but he is on the 10-day injured list. So kind of a catalyst. He's somebody that can manufacture runs if you need to. And I think Milwaukee needs all the help they can get offensively. So with those two guys, with Kane out of the lineup and Yelich still questionable and even not being effective with the back injuries that he suffered, probably a pass for me.
And we talk about the bullpen as one of the reasons I like the Brewers coming into the year, but Devin Williams, their setup guy, is not quite right here. They've talked about some shoulder fatigue with Devin Williams, and that takes one of the key elements out of that bullpen. He's still pitching, but they've moved him into low leverage situations now, so not quite the same shutdown from the seventh inning on that you expected with Williams and Hader coming into the year for the Brewers. One NBA game, James, that we did not get to earlier, the Spurs visiting the Suns. The San Antonio Spurs have certainly faded as the season has gone along, and here sit the Phoenix Suns with 40 wins in 55 games. A remarkable season thus far for Phoenix. They're 9.5-point favorites at home tonight against San Antonio. Not much on the injury report yet. Cam Johnson is going to be back in for the Suns. Nothing submitted yet for San Antonio. Where are you on the Phoenix Suns overall right now, James? We know that this is a team that had some expectations of being better this year, but obviously not quite what they've been.
Yeah, and I think with the Suns, with the addition of Paul, you knew how would they coexist? Paul's going to figure that out, to coexist in the backcourt with Devin Booker and with Monty Williams. I like Monty Williams as a coach. I think he's somebody that's highly respected around the league. Guys love him, and you know he's been under the tutelage of Popovich there with the Spurs, and smart guy, understands personalities. I think that's the biggest thing. He knows how to manage egos and personalities, and he knows how to manage his team, especially trying to work through this whole issue era of COVID, he's done a spectacular job. We talk about looking at the injury reports, right, and who's going to rest and back-to-back, all those types of things. Well, I think Monty Williams, his approach has been he wants to keep the momentum going. Obviously, the Suns have been playing well, especially the last couple months of the season. They've won 11 out of 12 as well, but playing incredibly well. They're really limiting and managing the minutes in the game. So it's not like Chris Paul's having rest days, but his minutes have been very limited, as have all the starters. They rarely average. They're just a tick over 30 minutes per game. So he goes deep into that bench. He does go five deep off the bench that play significant minutes for the Suns. And I think it's partially right. You get the younger guys coming off the bench, good energy on the defensive end for them, but also knows that it's a grind of a season, this condensed season in the NBA. So I think Monty Williams has done a masterful job of being able to get all these guys on the floor, working through the chemistry pieces with Paul coming in there and playing incredibly well. I would like to back the Suns here. It's too big a number for me here because I look at their upcoming schedule. And Adam, their schedule, this is where you get to really find out a lot over these next couple weeks about the Suns. You think they're getting, after this game tonight against San Antonio, they're taking off to the East, their Eastern Conference trip, playing at Milwaukee, at Philly, Boston, Brooklyn, and the Knicks. Those five games in the span of 8 days on the road. Then they get to come back home and face the Clippers and the Utah Jazz to close out the rest of the month for the Phoenix Suns. So I think it's going to be a challenging schedule. Coach Monty Williams knows that. And I was looking at a prop here as opposed to playing the side. What I did find was with Chris Paul. He's giving limited minutes. He hasn't even really been touching, even getting to 30 minutes a whole lot. I think with a back-to-back play with the Spurs coming in here after their loss to Portland, this could be a play where Phoenix gets out ahead, gets up early. And we'll see a lot of minutes coming off the bench. So sitting here looking with all those factors, I like the under 15.5 points for Chris Paul. It is juiced to $1.25. Don't typically like to lay that kind of juice, but in this case here, I don't know how many minutes we're going to see out of Paul tonight. He's really the facilitator. He's not looking to score. So at 15.5 points seems kind of high to me with everything that's coming up for the Suns schedule-wise. I think he'll be limited as far as action goes. I like that play, 15.5 points under for Chris Paul.
The only way I would think about this would either be what you just mentioned, James. Under on the points I like, I'd be looking at his assists. If you're going to play anything on Chris Paul, he's really been distributing lately, 9 or more assists in 4 of his last 6. And so that would be interesting to me. I would like to think about an over here, but I don't think I can get there. I think this number's about right at 227. Spurs have not been very good at the offensive end to do their part of things. The Suns, however, over the last 10 games have the best offensive rating in the NBA, and it's not close. 121 plus points per 100 possessions. Best in effective field goal percentage, best in true shooting percentage. They really have been filling it up against a Greg Popovich team that does not play great defense, which is a very strange thing to say with everything we know about what the San Antonio Spurs have been over time. Let's get you some updates on what's happening around Major League Baseball and the hockey games as well. It's still 1-1 between the Rays and the New York Yankees in New York. Top of the fourth inning, Tyler Glasnow has settled down a little bit. Jordan Montgomery's looked pretty good with the exception of the home run to Francisco Mejia. Total still sitting at 7. It is juiced under minus 132 at the moment. Your money line, Yankees minus 124, Rays minus 103. Nationals and the Diamondbacks remain tied at 1 in the fourth inning. That total is 7, juiced to the over. Nationals minus 167, Diamondbacks plus 133. That pitching matchup is Eric Fetty for the Nationals and Luke Weaver for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Just underway in Kansas City, first of 2 games between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals. 2 outs and a man on against Mike Minor for the Toronto Blue Jays. Little flare into right field is going to be a base hit. So the Jays now have a 2-on threat in the first inning. Live line frozen, but you will expect that to come back up with the Jays as probably short favorites. They were minus 110 coming into the game. Over on the ice, we have 2 games going at the moment. Devils and the Rangers. Devils have gotten a goal here late in the second period as we actually have gone to intermission. 4-1 Rangers over the New Jersey Devils. Rangers moved all the way out to minus 260 pregame with Aaron Dale announced as the starter instead of Mackenzie Blackwood. Total sitting at 7, juiced to the under. No money line on the board in a 3-goal game. Capitals and the Flyers. Washington has added one here. 4-2 Washington leading Philadelphia at the second intermission. Total 8.5, juiced under pretty heavily, minus 140. And the Capitals prohibitive favorites at this point. If you wanted to play the Philadelphia Flyers at home to come back, you are getting better than 11-1 here at the moment. James, as we look at what's coming up later on tonight, I mentioned the Mets and the Rockies, and I'm going to get to this game in depth because we have two of them going on in Denver. But as we head to break, exactly how cold is it going to be in Denver today?
It's going to be in the 30s. Right before the show, about an hour ago, it was snowing. I'm literally about a 10-minute drive from downtown, which is where Coors Field is located here in Denver. It was snowing. Now, that's not going to impact the game. It was just flurries, but it's great hitting weather, Adam, if you like football, not if you like baseball. This is going to be miserable conditions to play baseball in. No fun for these guys that have to do a doubleheader today.
And that's why one of these two games has me particularly interested. We'll talk about that here on the other side. It's Betting Across America from snowy Denver and Las Vegas here on VSiN. In the middle of its move to Kentucky, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod originates from Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's a discussion of horse racing issues and tips for Kentucky Derby travel from two men who know Louisville well, Horse Racing Radio Network's Dan Mason and Horse Racing Nation's CEO Mark Midland. Santa Anita General Manager Nate Newby talks about what he has learned from a troublesome time the last 2 years, and trainer Brad Cox makes a cameo appearance to discuss Monomoy Girl in this weekend's Apple Blossom Handicap. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get podcasts. It's sponsored by First Bet. Adam Candy from Las Vegas, James Salinas from Denver. James, how heavily invested are you in Monomoy Girl? Kind of what I expected you might say.
What the hell is that?
There you go. That is actually.
You tell me.
No. No, actually, if this were a game show, that was the correct answer. So good job. Let's get to something we were talking about right before the break, and that is the cold weather where you are in Denver. You mentioned some snow flurries. These teams are going to play two games today. Are the Mets and the Rockies. I'm not touching the first game with Jacob DeGrom going for the Mets, where they are a big favorite, minus 280 in that 7-inning game. Keep something in mind, though. Over the last four seasons, if you have bet on the money line against Jacob DeGrom, you actually are profitable. 40-36 is the straight-up record going against Jacob DeGrom the last 4 years. Do you want to trust the Colorado Rockies? That is your own decision to make. I'm going to pass on that first game. That's a total of 7. But game 2 is scheduled for what I believe is a 6 p.m. local time start in Denver. Total of 8.5 in a 7-inning game. Here's my thought. Actually, it's down to 8, so I'm glad I bet it under at 8.5. Game time weather is supposed to be in the 30s in this game. After they've already played one game, I'm assuming most of the regulars will play the earlier, warmer game, especially for the Mets in this game. I think you're going to see very few 6, 7, and 8 pitch at bats. I think you're going to see hacking early, and you're going to see a lot of swings. I played under in this one just based on the idea that in a 30-degree game in April, I don't think these teams are going to want to be around much. And if you want a little sounder reason than just that, Germán Márquez is going for the Colorado Rockies. Their ace looked a little better last time out than he did in his first game.
Yeah, I get exactly where you're going with it. Yeah, these are going to be – this is not conducive to fun baseball weather out here. It's not going to be windy, so that's not going to have that bite, that wind chill bite that really just – once you get cold, you just can't shake it. But, yeah, not fun baseball game today, having to go through this doubleheader, even though they are playing seven innings. I think for me, I got to get used to the seven-inning piece too. I know that happened last year, but I tend to just – with looking at doubleheaders, you know, it's difficult to project out what's going to happen in the first game and how does that translate. Do they end up having to, who do they use and utilize the bullpens here? But you talk about Germán Márquez. He pitches well here. He pitches well at Coors Field. He's somebody that's used to being in this environment. And, you know, there's times where, yeah, early in the season, we get cold weather like this. We get snow flurries that we're playing baseball in. So I like where you're going with this as far as that second game goes. But I think for me, to play that second game, I want to see how the first game plays out.
Totally understandable why you might especially be waiting on the weather there as well. Some updates from the diamond. We mentioned that threat that the Blue Jays had going. They cashed it in. A two-run double for Lourdes Gurriel Jr. 2-0 going into the bottom of the first. The Royals, I believe just hit into that's a double play. Yep, that is a double play for the Toronto Blue Jays. RBI single for Yan Gomes in Washington, driving in Andrew Stevenson. Now 3-1 Washington leading the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tampa gets a home run from Manuel Margot. They now lead 3-1 over the New York Yankees. So let's get you some live updates on those lines. Tampa now -286, Yankees +215, total 8.5, even on both sides. Nationals are $5 favorites against the Diamondbacks, and the Blue Jays move from -110 at the close to -315 against the Royals. Braves and Cubs just underway as well. I mentioned earlier why I was looking at this game and thinking to myself, all right, 7.5 feels low. David Ross, the manager of the Cubs, challenged a pickoff play at first base in a 0-0 game with one out in the first inning. You think he's worried about scoring runs? He is absolutely worried about scoring runs today. That game is headed to the bottom of the first. It's Betting Across America here from VSiN at the South Point and from Denver, Colorado. It is the Sports Betting Network. All the spring sports betting action, you need the VSiN experts to stay ahead of the game. The best place to start, VSiN.com, where we're covering baseball, NHL and NBA playoff races, NFL draft, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. While you're there, get all the latest Vegas odds, check out our bet tracker and parlay calculator tools, read in-depth articles from our team, including betting strategies from basic to advanced theory, and you can also listen to our VSiN shows 24/7 for free. Start your daily betting at VSiN.com, and while you're there, check out our subscription options starting at $22 per month. Betting Across America continues from Las Vegas and Denver as James Salinas joins me, Adam Candy. Three more baseball games that we have not discussed, James, coming up later tonight. And the very tired Dodgers and Padres, after going deep into the night, 12 innings, last night, Dodgers end up winning that game in San Diego 11-6, but a wild affair. Runs for both teams in the eighth, runs for both teams in the ninth. David Price ends up getting the victory for the Dodgers. And what do we get today on the other side? A great pitching matchup. Clayton Kershaw going against Yu Darvish, the Dodgers. And the San Diego Padres tonight should be another fantastic game.
Yeah, last night's game felt like a playoff game, and I made the mistake. They're tired. I'm tired, Adam. I ended up having to stay up and watch the whole damn thing because – what time did it end out here? Like 1:30? I don't know. It was really late, but I ended up getting involved. I didn't get involved until – I was just watching the game. I really just wanted to watch it. I wanted to get a feel. We talked about it in the offseason. How was this – what was this – now we got the rivalry, all the money and all the moves that were – all the money that was paid to players, all the moves that were made in the offseason. World champs coming back in here. I was looking forward to this first, you know, the first matchup here, and lived up to all the expectations. It literally, even though there weren't a lot of fans in the stands in San Diego, it sure had the aura. It sure felt like the intensity level of a playoff game. It was fun to watch. And then I saw Canley Jams, the eighth inning. I saw him warming up. I just curiously said, I wonder what the number of the live line is right now on the Padres. And it was sitting there at 5.25. So plus 5.25 on the Padres. Wow. With Jansen coming, it's like, I got to play it. All right, let me play it and get re-engaged. And then I'm having to stay up for however long we had to stay up to watch the game. And obviously I didn't come out on the right end of that, but I couldn't pass up such a big number. With that said, looking at this matchup today, yeah, good pitching matchup here with Kershaw and Darvish. And I think this is where I did this with Darvish, I believe it was on Monday against the Pirates, where the Padres had really exhausted a lot of their bullpen over the weekend and needed Darvish to go and eat some innings, which he did. Now, it was a light hitting lineup there with the Pirates that he faced, but he was able to do that. I think he pitched 7 innings, had a number of strikeouts, pitched really well, and ate the innings that they needed. Well, the Padres need him to do that again. Last night's game, both teams collectively used 15 relievers, 9 of them on the Padres side. But looking at the Padres in that series away from home where they played in Pittsburgh, really taxed that bullpen too. These last 4 games, Adam, that bullpen for the Padres, they've pitched 24 innings in relief in 4 games. That's a lot of bullpen usage. We know they used 9 guys last night. I was looking for, so I wanted to roll with that angle again on Darvish as far as how deep will he go in the game, how many outs, right, how many innings where he goes. But right now, I don't have a number on that. I don't have any player props. So I'm probably going to be looking to the over. I know it's a good pitching matchup here, but I think Darvish, they're going to leave him out there. They're going to let him work through some jams and not be afraid to give up a few runs here. So I like the over here sitting at 7, even though the pitching matchup is, because eventually they're going to get to these bullpens, and with the Padres bullpen being taxed the way that it is, I don't like the Dodgers bullpen either. I think eventually we'll see some runs on the board. One thing to keep in mind that I want to see as far as the lineups are concerned, I want to see Manny Machado. He jammed his back, his hip, right? I think it was the 9th inning when he was sliding into second, and you can see he was definitely hurting out there. We'll see if he's in the lineup as well, so that'll probably factor into what I do with this game tonight.
Money has come in on the Padres. This opened minus 140 on the Dodgers, down to minus 118 here at the South Point. It's an 8:40 p.m. Eastern start. That total 7 is juiced to the over at 20 here at the South Point. Quick update from hockey. If you had written off this Rangers-Devils game, and I as a Devils fan had certainly done that when it was 4-0 New York, the Devils have scored the last 3 goals. Sharon Govich, the last one for New Jersey. It's back to 4-3, and they've gone from no money line on the board at 4-0 to now you actually do have a money line with 13 minutes left. The Devils are 5-1 to complete this comeback if you're interested in getting involved in that. Later on tonight as well in baseball, Twins and the Angels. This is a game that I spent a while trying to find a way into. I'm not sure I'm ultimately going to get there, but I was trying to find a way to fade Jose Quintana for the Angels because he certainly does not look like the pitcher he was back in Chicago, either of the Chicago teams. This game is right now, even on both sides, Twins at the bottom of the AL Central right now, minus 105. Game starts 9:07 p.m. Eastern, total of 9. Matt Shoemaker, who has been good when healthy, he just hasn't been healthy much, for the Twins on the mound for Minnesota.
Yeah, and to your point about Quintana, I've been fading him too. He's not the same pitcher he was in Chicago. He is an absolute nibbler. He is living out 6 inches outside the black of the dish, right? And he just won't challenge hitters. And so far this season, this is where it feels like scouting reports. If I'm sitting here in my bunker and we can see this, where he just won't throw, he's not going to challenge anybody, take some pitches. Make him work to you. See if he'll give in or take the walk. And I think that's got to be the approach for the Twins, because that's what the approach has been so far this season with the opponents that have faced Quintana. He hasn't lasted long. He has thrown just 5 combined innings in his 2 starts, given up 9 earned runs, 7 bases on ball, right? So 7 walks as well. Tells me guys are going up. All right, if you're not going to come over the plate, I don't need to swing the bat, and we're going to put you in some jams, and he's not going to be able to get out of those jams. So there is not a prop. There's a prop on Shoemaker, how many outs there he'll get. There is not one sitting here on Quintana. I'll look for that. But I think, to me, this is going to be a bullpen game for both of these teams. I think we should see some runs put on the board here. The Angels have been hitting the ball very well. So was looking at the first 5, the total sitting at 5, but I think with getting into these bullpens with a total of 9, I think I'm looking more so for the full game and looking at the over 9 in this contest.
Astros and the Mariners, we'll just touch on this one briefly as we head out toward the break. Zach Greinke against Chris Flexen, who comes back over from the KBO to pitch for Seattle. -120 on Houston, Mariners +110, total 8.5. Greinke really roughed up last time around. Mariners have been one of the more pleasant surprises in all of Major League Baseball thus far, with 9 wins for a team that was not expected to do a whole lot. Baseball and basketball have dominated our day. We're going to talk a little football on the other side here on Betting Across America from Las Vegas and Denver. It is your sports betting network, the sports betting network, VSiN. Bet basketball, baseball, or hockey with a risk-free bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up and use bonus code VSIN600 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free bet up to $600. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only, and it excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Let's bring it home on Betting Across America from Las Vegas and Denver. Adam Candy and James Salinas updating you on Major League Baseball. Before we talk a little NFL in this segment, something you're going to have to go about differently in NFL betting this year. Stay tuned. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Washington has added another run on a Juan Soto sack fly to take a 4-1 lead on the Arizona Diamondbacks. So your first 5s are looking pretty good there with 2 outs for Eric Fetty in the top of the 5th against Arizona. Pregame total of 8.5 obviously will be in question for a bit. You're getting closer to your first 5 if you bet the Rays. Tyler Glass now has a 3-1 lead in the bottom of the 5th inning. 2 hits thus far for the Rays. They're both home runs, and that has led to that 2-run lead. Game I'm watching closely in Chicago, where I played over 7.5 on the Cubs and the Braves. Cubs get a first inning run. Now the Braves have 2 on with nobody out in the top of the 2nd against Trevor Williams. They had a threat in the first inning, and Ronald Acuna Jr. got picked off first base. Elsewhere, Jays maintaining a 2-0 lead over the Royals as we head to the bottom of the 3rd inning there. That's Mike Minor taking on Steven Matz in that ball game. Double checking to make sure I haven't missed anything that we need to update you on from Major League Baseball. I believe that gets us pretty close back to even, and we will keep you posted on anything else that comes around here from the diamond. James, let's get over to football, and we've seen over the last few days some win totals be released. You know, we've obviously gotten pretty used to how we bet NFL win totals. And, you know, some folks really like to get these early numbers and get them this time of year and try to lock in what they see as value. And, you know, for the potential returns, some people don't really like to lock up their money long term here in April for a payoff that you're not going to see until January. So before we get into any of these actual numbers, James, what's your approach when it comes to NFL win totals?
Well, season win totals, we know the opponents, who each team, their opponents are going to be. We just don't know when they're going to play them. And I think, just because we know, at least for me, I know who they're going to play, it's more important for me to know when they actually play, because scheduling is a big part of my NFL handicap. And I know they only play 16, or now we're going to 17 games. And it seems like, you know, it would seem like, all right, why is scheduling that big of a deal? Because they only play 17 games. These guys are going to bring it each, you know, week in and week out, and they're going to bring that effort and intensity, and they don't. They don't do that. It's based on, there's so many, and truly, Adam, there's so many spots and scheduling spots that I find where you're going to find flat spots in an NFL schedule. Happens all the time. And you can start looking as early as like week 3, week 4 in the NFL season. A lot of times, not so much because of travel or weariness or anything like that, but more so based on, first and foremost, priority for all teams in the NFL is to win their division. Everybody wants to get into the playoffs, and you win your division is the easiest way to make sure you get in there, and you have rivalries within your division playing these teams twice a year, every year, and kind of getting sick of them. So they're used to playing their teams, their rivals within their division. And a lot of times you find these scheduling spots where maybe you just this weekend where they're playing a team A is playing a big rivalry game within their division this week. Next week, they're going to be traveling on the road to some non-conference team and sandwiched by the following week where maybe they're having another big conference game, a rivalry game within their division, what have you, that maybe it's on Sunday Night Football, something like that. So happens all the time, as well as when do their bye hits. Some of these teams, their bye hits really early, and we saw that with teams like Pittsburgh, for instance, that really grinded and dragged through the rest of the season based on their bye being makeshift bye because of COVID having to be played so early. So scheduling when teams play, Adam, is really important to me. So until I see that schedule come out, I'm not going to try to get too involved with season win totals and project things out, because the scheduling piece is going to be important for me. The other thing here, too, I think we've got to adjust our mindset when we're looking at season win totals and we see 10, we're thinking, all right, there's 10-6. Well, now that we're playing 17 games, it's just something that we're going to have to get out of that habit that we've had for so long with 16-game schedules, that it's probably just something to be conscious of, because that number is obviously going to include another game in the schedule this year with 17 games.
Yeah, and that's definitely where I was headed in earlier on, saying just be aware, be smart, take your time and look at it and understand that, you know, your calculus is quite different on this with 17 versus 16. Great point you made about scheduling. We have to wait for that. And the NFL has made very clear, and we actually heard more about it this week, that you're going to have the draft before the schedule release every year moving forward, which also means you're going to be waiting to see, for some of these teams at the top of the draft, what quarterback is coming in, right? When you talk about Trevor Lawrence versus Mac Jones versus Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, et cetera, who's going to be the quarterback of some of these teams? So realize that when we get into talking some of these numbers, which we're going to throw up at VSiN.com here in just a moment, we're really just talking about quality of team and whether you see any value on either side of the number. Highest number on the board right now, James, the Chiefs are at 12, Bucks 11.5, Ravens and Packers both at 11, Bills 10.5, Rams, 49ers, Browns, Colts all 10, Seahawks 9.5, but heavily juiced to the over at -140, and the Patriots at 9.5. Not really significant juice on any of those numbers outside of the ones that I mentioned. Colts -125 to the under, Bucks -120 to the over. Do you see on this list of teams any teams that you think are being significantly over or undervalued?
I think a couple of them, and obviously without knowing when they're going to play their opponents. Just looking at it from this perspective here, I tend to, and I don't bet a whole lot of season win totals. Kind of what your point when you started this segment was talking about, well, some folks, I mean, we're sitting here in April and you want to tie your money up and you're not going to be able to cash that ticket, hopefully, if you win for another 8 months, 9 months come January, right? So it's a long time to tie those dollars up. But looking at this here, I tend to bet against human achievement in the NFL and team achievement as well, just because the volatility of you know, hopefully going into 21 this season coming up, we'll be past the pandemic when we get to games come September, right? So we won't have those kind of issues going forward. But injuries, we know it's just those are the things that is definitely the biggest X factor when it comes to projecting out any kind of season win total, is you can't project injuries that happen, and we know it happens to all teams. It's just a matter of how significant are those injuries to certain key players. So the first one that comes to mind, I'm just looking at the top, just looking at the Chiefs, right? And sitting there at 12. Now you're thinking 12, if I want to win that, then now I'm going to have to go 13. And in this case, not 13-3. They can afford four losses and go 13-4. And I think within the division, you know, I think the Broncos are definitely getting better on defense. So they competed with them very well last year on that Sunday night in Kansas City on the defensive end. It's the quarterback position that's really holding the Broncos back now. We'll just skip past the Raiders and some of the – I don't know what that franchise or that team is doing, but at least you got a local team there in Las Vegas to cheer for you guys there and for Adam, for you guys in Las Vegas. But I think with the Chargers getting better, but question marks about the coaching piece – everybody's going to be gunning for the Chiefs, right? You're going to get their best shot, even though they lost the Super Bowl. Two-time, you know, back-to-back appearances in the Super Bowl. They're going to get everybody's best shot. That is the measuring stick for how teams want to assess where do we currently stand. And I think for the Chiefs now, there's some issues on the offensive line that they're going to have to address. Definitely some issues on the defense that I'm not sure how they're going to get those things addressed either. I think we're going to see a regression out of the Chiefs. So even though Mahomes is a spectacular player, he is also prone to injuries as well. We've seen that through his young career. I think another one that jumps out to me too is the Packers. And I think with Green Bay, there just feels like, Adam, I just feel like there's a disconnect there for sure between Aaron Rodgers and that coaching staff and that front office. We saw that last year with the way that how they approached the draft and what they did in last year's draft. And now Aaron Rodgers, he looks a little distracted, right? I mean, he's doing Jeopardy now and hosting Jeopardy and finding other things to spend his time. He got married. I just don't know how committed he is and how much love he has for the game of football anymore, because it feels like the Packers have kind of zapped some of that from him. So those are the first two that come to mind right there, the Chiefs and definitely the Packers sitting at 11. I think that's too high.
You know, without getting into the teams, I'll say that the only ones that I bet last year, this time of year, were some alt lines. I was looking for ones that I didn't mind tying the money up for a long time, because I was looking at certain teams and saying, I think this is so far off that I'm willing to go another win up and find something that, you know, is at plus 190, plus 200, where, yeah, then I'm willing to get into that. And for instance, one that I did hit last year was on the Buffalo Bills. I had a conviction on the Bills early last year, went with that, and got it. But most of these, when we're talking about, you know, standard juice on these, it just doesn't look as interesting. But of course, any chance to bet on the NFL, we know, is going to be popular with people. We have plenty of draft talk coming up as well. Make sure you go to vsin.com and check that out. We'll have our NFL draft betting guide up there as that comes up in about a week and a half. No other updates to get you on Major League Baseball, but you know what? You got the Green Zone coming up, and they're going to take you through all the live action and all your live betting opportunities. For Sean and JJ behind the glass, for James Salinas in Denver, I'm Adam Candy from here at the South Point in Las Vegas. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday afternoon with us, getting a little sharper on your betting. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.